You are listening to 94.1 KPFA and 89.3 KPFB in Berkeley, 88.1 KFCF in Fresno, 97.5 K248BR in Santa Cruz, and online at kpfa.org. The time is 2 p.m. Stay tuned next for the Visionary Activist Show.
Welcome, allies, to the Visionary Activist Show, and I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey. So it is the dark of the moon. There's a new moon tomorrow. Dark of the moon is traditionally when elders, regardless of their age, would gather to determine the course of culture. So let's do that. But for bonus points, not only is it dark of the moon, but today is true Beltane, true May Day. The cross-quarter holidays, you know, are called the four gates of power. They are the exact mid-season, so it's Halloween and Candlemas and Beltane today, and Lammas in the summer. We round them off, but today is really the day. So it's true Beltane again when power is especially eager to be invited into the world to animate the desirable story. So let's do that. It's also Cinco de Mayo. It's Ascension Day. Jupiter, the intelligence of storytelling, is stationing, getting ready to go forward out into the manifest world on Monday. We are here to re-wed activism and animism again, you know, cooperating with everything. We know that empire is going down, and what wants to arise is renaissance, humans collaborating with nature's guiding genius. You know, as always, we are the molecules whereby the big story speaks with itself through the agency of synchronicity. So there's so much brewing and so much opportunity. We know an ongoing conversation is when culture is in big trouble, it finally turns to its outsiders, its poets, its pragmatic mystics, its astrologers, its dragons. Remember, Ursula Le Guin says, those who do not listen to dragons are doomed to live out the nightmares of politicians. Whoa! So we have a poet, a pragmatic mystic, an astrologer, a dragon, a person with a degree in Eastern philosophy, a magical philosopher, poet, steeped in esotericism and application in the realm of politics. So our theme this hour is the mathematics of the desirable. Bernie is winning. As conventional news reveals its complete incompetence and hence irrelevance as a narrator in this wild field that we're in, we turn to the mythic news. So we welcome John Loritz, mathematician, poet, political guide, and together we shall be mathematicians that sane reverence may reassume cultural narrative lead at this powerful time. His website is johnloritz.com. Welcome, John Loritz.
Hey, thanks for having me.
No, it's great. And so you are going viral, or I like to say I prefer spiral, you know, on the web, because I guess Nation of Change and a number of other places have picked up your articles, which is how I found you. You know, why Clinton will not secure the nomination according to math. And can Sanders do it, or is Clinton truly inevitable? And I know that people can go to get the full depth of your guiding at johnloritz.com. But do you want to just guide us a little bit into this heartening and balancing narrative?
Yeah, I would love to. That's why I wrote the article.
Yeah.
You know? I was inspired to write it after that... That last Super Tuesday on the East Coast, and the media blew up with its narrative that it's all over for Bernie Sanders and Clinton is inevitable and, you know, he should withdraw and all that. And, you know, there seemed to be this kind of like sadness in the air for a minute, and a lot of people seemed to be, really buying that. And so I felt sad, and I was like, well, is that really true? And so I got all the numbers together, and I added it all up, and I was like, oh, wow, that's not true. Actually, it seems that a contested convention is just about inevitable at this point. And yeah, so when I found that, then I turn that into an article and threw it up on my website, and the response to it has been huge, way bigger.
That's
than
right. Well, you might have to revise your bio somewhat from being, you know, poetically waifish. You know, it does say John Lawrence is not an award-winning author, journalist, or poet. Well, until now, kind of. Nor is he a groundbreaking new artist. Oh yeah, you are. And he certainly hasn't revived any particular medium or style. Well, you kind of are. He has not even aspired to accomplish any of these things. I think it's changing.
Yeah.
He just wants enough money to
ruined.
Buy. Yeah. No, say what?
I said, yeah, my little bio has been ruined
I
now.
Think, well, it's good. You know, life is experimental change. And see, I love the model of, which I think is true, of, you know, in dangerous times, there many cultures have a word for the magic that comes in dangerous times. And it is the trickster. It's a trickster year, which is why the conventional narrators are so incompetent, going, oh, we were surprised by that. Were you surprised? And it's like, we weren't surprised. It's a topsy-turvy, anything could happen kind of year. It's like wild and full of, you know, miracles and the unexpected. And I know there's been, you know, pushback from you know, strident and even non-strident Hillary people going, no, math, and the Bernie people don't know math.
Yeah, they've made a few funny little videos on YouTube and all that.
Yeah, not funny enough, but from my understanding. But and you are going, at the end of your article, you say you see you in Philadelphia. Are you gone?
I am. I'm going to go.
Oh,
I have a little Honda Civic that its name is the Falcon, and I'm working on getting it fixed up, and I'll be mobbing across the country, and I will see everyone in Philadelphia.
That's great, and also just your little car called the Falcon. It's kind of like Ursula Le Guin's novels, like The Wizard of Earthsea. And so the young wizard set forth from Oregon, right, to drive to Philadelphia. Well, I'm intrigued too. I was invited to go to a music festival, and I go, no, but it is right next to the Democratic Convention, timing wise, and I think it might be great to go there. So your thought is you're gonna fly your Falcon by car across the country, show up in Philadelphia for those crucial days beginning July 25th, which is an interesting. I have the chart for everything, but and then your thought is, you know, you're going to be, you know, dancing outside, or who knows what.
I mean, I think we're all winging it. Actually, one of the latest projects that me and some folks on the internet are working on, there's a handful of probably a couple dozen different Facebook groups that are for this event, for marching on the DNC, actually starting the day before the convention too, so July 24th, and then and the convention begins on July 25th, so we're trying to actually kind of consolidate all those movements a little bit and really get a good picture of how many people we're going to have, and so far there certainly seems to be I mean, at least tens of thousands. I wouldn't be surprised to see 100,000.
And since we do want to invite in grace, I do think it's crucial that we want to be sizzly and discerning and everything revealed and anything up to no good, be revealed, rendered harmless, an occasion for mirth. But I would like all of our team to compost vitriol and contempt, you know, even though it might be earned by many people in the public scene, just because it's a distracting, gummy fuel, you know. And as we were speaking backstage, you know, part of the dynamic of the story, there's the con man and the trickster, or the con, which imprisons, and the trick, which liberates, you know. And it is, I think, crucial for all of us to be inviting storytellers, from those who are conned to those who would like a liberating trick, going, come on over from the imprisoning con of, you know, of Trump and whatnot, you know.
Yeah, come play with us.
Come play with us. And if people are finger wagging, and there's a lot of reasons to reveal much of Hillary Clinton, but I do want to compost our vituperative vitriol, clarity, revealing, good, but again, the composting the things. So Let me just say one thing and then pass it back to you. But I love, pragmatic political druid John Michael Greer says, if you want people to get nothing done but hot conflict, convince them they're on one side of something, you will only get heat. What two needs is three, which is the unifying story. You know, here we are, we're all in this thing together, and here's where we're going. We're directing atmospheric traffic. There we go. Because your article is not vitriolic. Your article is heartening. Right?
No, I try my hardest not to be vitriolic. There's a bit of it going around, but I really believe that there's or at least from the hundreds of messages I've got, there's a huge amount of positivity, a huge
Excellent.
Amount of enthusiasm, you know.
That's great. So I don't want to be the gloomy person, but it's also just seeing people's postings and kind of and then going, it's going to be like 1968, and it's like no, better, much better than 68.
Yeah, same for better than 68. Yeah.
I mean, I think the 60s are a sleeper cell. Those born then and those who lived then and those who reference it, it's kind of coming alive, but in order to mature, I like the power fist, like unfurling into the open palm of blessing, you know, may it go well for you, and, you know, the Bedouin greeting, you know, halloo, change your direction and come this way, over here, you shall have delicious food, here's the authentic thing you seek, there we go. So, all right, well, so you'll be wherever you're supposed to be, danced by synchronicity in Philadelphia, conjuring the most desirable story, right?
Indeed.
Excellent.
I intend to be covering everything that happens there and writing articles the whole time to let everyone know.
Yeah, that's great.
Because the media may not let people know, so that's our job now.
Well, I kind of like, because, you know, part of the dynamic of now is, you know, Eris, goddess of disruption, dancing with Harmonia, daughter of Mars and Venus, you know, disruption in service to harmony. You know, we disrupt the inauthentic in order to have it come back into greater harmony. So I kind of like the dynamic that we want to root for and encourage of, you know, mainstream news. Even I used to watch quite a lot of news, and even Rachel Maddow, but she's on such a tight leash right now that I go, I might go to bed early someday. And that idea of inhaling back the narrative from those who presume to know, because they don't know.
Yeah, that reminds me of the Tibetan practice of Tonglen, which I studied, where you sort of you inhale the negativity and the insanity, and you exhale back, you know, peace.
Right, but don't in order to get ready for that, don't you first, you know, inhale golden light and exhale one's own smudgy negativity, there you go, and then when you're ready, you reverse the thing?
Yeah, there's a lot of different ways to do it, and there's a lot of different Tibetan traditions.
Right, no, that's well, because I think this is the time, and I don't know if you've seen the site Tibetans for Bernie.
I haven't actually.
Oh, it's really great, and Tibetans for Bernie it looks great on a bumper sticker in Tibetan. And there's a little notice, but you're not on Facebook, right? Because that's why you write so much, I guess. Because you don't.
I actually am. I am on Facebook.
Oh,
but
I didn't find you.
Yeah, I don't hang out too much on there.
No, but I didn't find you even as a listed person. But
oh, interesting.
Yeah. But just because it's so easy to share, because there underneath the Tibetans for Bernie there was a great formal form that said, you know, Tibetans are gathering now to do prayers of protection and encouragement to remove all the barriers to Bernie's journey.
Ah, beautiful.
It is beautiful. You know, it's also like, you know, around the world, you know, when Obama was running in 2008, you know, there were Senteros in Cuba doing prayers, and there were, you know, Mayans in Mexico and people in Africa to go keep this man safe, and may he, you know, and we go, I think it's the good way to go, because there's your math. And maybe you can just give again a little bit more. Is Clinton truly inevitable? And you say, I mean, we don't want to put listeners to sleep with math, but I don't think it will.
I can do a quick overview.
Yeah, let's do a quick overview, because people are like, denying reality, and we go, well, reality is overvalued. The situation's so dire, we can't afford the luxury of realism. We're going for the desirable story, but you're also here to ground us in the mathematics of the desirable possible. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that desirable story, is rooted in the numbers now.
Excellent. All right, let's root it.
Yeah, and that's what I think. That's sort of the struggle right now, you know, is to resist that narrative of hopelessness, you know, that some are trying to sow at the moment, you know, that it's impossible.
Well, we have a cauldron. We can throw hopelessness into the cauldron. Blah blah blah.
Yeah, so throw it in.
All right.
And, yeah, I mean, essentially what I did was I think as a lot of people have caught on to now is most media outlets have been including the so-called superdelegate count with the rest of the numbers, which. For those of you who might not know, superdelegates they're unelected delegates. So they're party insiders and officials and all that. But then there's elected delegates, and that's what we're running for in these primaries. When we're running Bernie Sanders versus Clinton, they're duking it out over the elected delegates. And each state has so many. And so I went through, and the number that they've been using is wrong, because they're including the superdelegates who do not vote until the convention in July. And that's why it's so important that we show up, by
right,
the way,
right,
in
right.
July.
Okay, I'm there.
But the real number that we're shooting for now, and this is what I wrote about, is 2,026 delegates. And that is precisely half plus one of the elected delegates, so the actual delegates that are up for grabs in all of these primary elections that are happening. And right now, let me take a look. Indiana. Okay, so since Indiana, now we're Sanders has 1,414 delegates versus Clinton's 1,704.
That's nothing.
So,
right.
Yeah, you know, we're a couple hundred behind, and there's 933 left for grabs.
Woo!
And
let's go, you know, West Virginia is on Tuesday, I think, and the West Virginia Democratic Party and the governor just came out in favor in supporting Bernie. So we
excellent. I had not heard that, actually.
Yeah, that was today. There is, again, see, there is a narrative of such a huge global awakening, really, now, which is why the mainstream news has clueless, because it doesn't even have terms to address it, you know, which is like, rawr, no matter what, again, you know, it's the infinite game, you know, it's like, rawr. So there's West Virginia, your own state of Oregon is on the 17th, is that right?
Yeah, it's on the 17th, and things are looking very good in both of those states.
Yes.
There's also Guam is on the 7th here, so 2 days. And that's also a caucus territory.
Right.
So, we should do pretty well there, as we've been doing. We've been doing good in caucuses, where there's a lot of involvement on the ground and, you know, real live democracy, a bunch of people in a room.
And also harder to finagle, right?
Yes. It'd be very hard to. There's no machines involved in a caucus. In a caucus, we're having shows of hands and all that. So it's much more difficult to say that someone got this many votes when they really didn't, because everyone's around looking at all the hands. And
in rewedding activism to animism in a whimsical way, team, you know, there's nothing to believe in, just to experiment. But, you know, we that's why we do say, you know, no black magic, anybody, Hillary. No, you know, or the FBI is going to get you if you don't behave well. But, you know, it is that sense of, you know, even if things are slightly sketchy in the finagling of votes somewhere, we go, no, may the voting machines, even if they're being tormented into fraud, you know, rebel and go, no, we're going to report the accurate thing, because we're allowed to set in motion anything of which we would be the happy recipients. We don't want dishonesty. We don't want finagling, you know, but we do want actual democracy and truth.
And
that's why, like, in New York, the discrepancy between the exit polls and the votes was like 12% discrepancy, which is
very interesting there.
Quite sketchy. And many satirists have been, again, welcome satirists and satirists, mythologists, mathematicians, you know, everybody, holding honesty accountable.
It's very unusual for exit polls to be off by that much, and New York's not the only example either. even the results in Indiana, you know, from the other day, which we won. Hooray. But even those ones, the exit polls showed Sanders having about 5% more the vote than he ended up getting.
Right.
So, it's very interesting that there's been so many discrepancies.
And then, of course, to our team, our largest audience here in California. Hello, California.
Hello, California.
That's right. And I'm pretty sure that I am, you know, nonprofit again, Pacifico Radio. Where I'm not allowed to technically endorse. I'm not endorsing. My guest is, and so are the planets. Okay, now back to back to our narrative. It's not me. It's Trickster and the planets that are, because you know the auguries are really intriguing, and I do want to aspire to be mythologically fair to everybody. But part of what's very beautiful is that, you know, today, True Beltane, sun at 15 Taurus. Well, when Bernie Sanders was born, his sun is at 15 Virgo. So the sun now, and trining his son. So we join with the Tibetans, wishing him strength and good voice. And I mean, what a stamina the guy has. It's like, God, I hope, you know, when people go, oh, I'm 70, I'm old, I go, in 4 more years and you could be president. Come on, you know, pick it up. And the auguries are strong. Uranus about to oppose his Venus, whose image is Chanticleer, and his Mercury is dawn of a new day, reveals everything changed, and Jupiter's retrograde, inward, goes forward on Monday, and then transits Bernie Sanders' sun in the middle chunk of June, which one would say, like, oh, look, you really do have your sails up, and here's the wind coming. So we're the wind. So California, remind us, the primary vote is... Do you have it right there?
So California's primary, which is semi-open, is on June 7th.
Right.
And you guys have 475 delegates. You guys are the heaviest delegate state in the whole country. Yeah.
And
it's going to be a very important day, and so we're a lot of eyes are on California right now.
And also, when you say it's semi-open, I think this is important as a public educational dynamic.
That.
Yeah, let's go for that, because independents can vote if...
Yeah, so independents can vote, but it's very important that everyone understand they need to be registered as unaffiliated, as no party affiliation. Now, unfortunately, there's actually a very conservative party that calls themselves the American Independent Party, and I've heard that there's been a lot of confusion of people thinking that they had registered as independents in California, but having accidentally actually registered with this extremely right-wing party called the American Independent Party.
Ooh.
So anyone who's listening today, you know, who wants to vote for Sanders in the primary, or if you just want to vote in the Democratic primary at all, make sure check your registration. We've been having a lot of registration irregularities lately, and it'd be unfortunate if you didn't get to vote. So make sure that you have no party affiliation, or you're registered as a Democrat, or else you're not going to end up being able to vote when those primaries roll around on June 7th.
Right. So again, so for all of our team who want to vote for whomever, but California is semi-open, 475 delegates, primary June 7th. So again, people can register as unaffiliated. So if you go on June 7th as unaffiliated, you can vote for anybody, right?
In the Democratic primary, you can vote for anybody. I'm not sure about the Republican primary.
Well, are they going to do it even?
Yeah, there won't be a Republican primary, so.
Right.
Because Trump has locked down the nomination now.
Yes.
So that actually frees up all of our friends over on the conservative and Republican sides, and if they wish to participate in our nomination process and choosing between Hillary Rodham Clinton and Bernie Sanders, if they register as unaffiliated or temporarily as a Democrat, they can deregister the next day if they'd like. But everyone who wants to should be able to participate.
How interesting. So because it is such a topsy-turvy, trickstery, anything could happen, tumultuous field that we're in, so even people up to no good might do inadvertent good, going, I'm a Republican and I'm going to register as an unaffiliated in order to vote for Bernie because I would prefer Trump to run against him, and go, fine, yes, come on over. That, you know,
please.
May you do inadvertent good, and while you're doing that, may you come to your senses and really mean it. You know, again, when we were speaking backstage, you know, the model of, you know, people want to know how they're being bamboozled and hoodwinked, and Trump is saying you're being bamboozled and hoodwinked.
By
those people, right? By, you know, the scary hate mongering, and, you know, Bernie's saying we're being bamboozled, and here's the structure, and here's what we're all going to do about it. So it is the real liberating deal. But we understand. We go, yes, we will. Everybody, and I think the importance of independent media. I mean, like yourself, and certainly Pacifica, and, you know, and I watched some hilarious Lee Camp reporting comedy satire out of D.C. and the Young Turks, and so it's so I love the that everything old and corrupt, everything old and wonderful is good. Everything old and corrupt is in chaos, including the corporate news realm. You know, I think people are fleeing the, you know, well, emotionally, energetically fleeing the conventional party system, and then also fleeing the news. Yeah,
it seems to be malfunctioning. You know, it doesn't seem to be working in the way they'd like it to. I think people on all sides of everything here are starting to wake up and notice that at the moment.
So you do begin your article going, you know, can Bernie win? And the answer is no, my friends, we cannot. And yet, neither can Hillary Clinton. And then you show us why the media is willfully hiding from you. There's the math and there's that. And then we just turn to the authentic spirit of democracy in the hearts of all the superdelegates, and also their rational analysis going, actually, Bernie looks better against Trump.
It's true.
And then people, of course, say, oh, but that doesn't mean anything. You know, polls don't mean anything. Especially because...
Well, they tend to mean things when they...
Yes.
when they work for their narrative,
Yes, well, that is true. But we put everything in our pipe and smoke it and go, because the full fury of Trump's toxicity has not been turned on Bernie yet. I think he will do fine with it. Just by wearing his magic cloak of living ducks, and so it all rolls off his back, better than Hillary, who's just flat-footed and has never been a good campaigner. And it's just like, I'm quipping that the campaign we're heading into is going to make, you know, Game of Thrones look like a kind story, because in terms of the hate fest, like, and that's why we want to cool everything out. So, yeah, okay, so you do guide us and go, okay, so that's basically the gist of it. And then if people want to know the real details whereby to, you know, civilly converse with people from many different perspectives, with your backup logic and math in service to democracy, I like that, they can go to JohnLauritz, LauritzS.com, right?
Yeah, JohnLauritz.com, and they can search for the very first article was called This Is What Will Happen at the Democratic Convention.
Right.
I show all my math, you know, so that I encourage my readers to point out, you know, anything that they might think is wrong with it, and we have pretty lively conversations down there in the comment threads below it.
Well, yeah, I noticed that your comment thread is pretty civil.
It's been surprisingly civil. Like there's a lot of argument, you know, going on in all the different corners of the internet these days, but things have been pretty well there, you know. And I've hopped down. There's been a couple of times where I've had some people call in some names and all sorts of things, but it doesn't seem to get out of control down there. So
well, that's
a pretty
good
lively place to talk about.
I actually love deleting. I'm not frightened of deleting. I go, no, I don't want to read that again. No, I don't.
I'm not afraid of deleting either, and I haven't had to delete a single comment yet.
I know.
There were a few that kind of bordered on it, but I was like, I'll let it stand. You know, I won't silence them. But yeah, there's been nothing So terrible that I hadn't deleted it yet.
Right, and again, that's sort of the Game of Thrones. I love some wag saying, you know, Trump is as though the vitriolic comments section in some website had assumed, you know, flesh form and like that, you know, in its vituperativeness. But it is, so you are pretty jaunty. And we want to, we're going to take a very short musical break, but I like the jaunty, playful, in service to seriousness of your dynamic, which is a great fuel to run on. So we'll be animating that, and we'll be right back after a very short break.
All right.
She shook the constellation that dazzled them crossed his eyes. She shook the constellations and dazzled them crossed his eyes. She showered his head with quasars and made his tortoise cry.
Oh, get down.
Chiny, 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 come blow my chiny horn. Ooh, chiny, 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 come blow my chiny horn. Grab my indigo skyship, make its voyage long.
Now get down.
Welcome back, allies, to the Visionary Activist Show, and I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey. Our splendid teammate guest this hour is John Lauritz, L-A-U-R-I-T-S. His website is johnlauritz.com, where you can find part one and part two of This Is What's Going to Happen at the Democratic Convention. This will happen at the Democratic Convention. I love that, as well as his poetry and writing, which is pretty great, and then soon his revised bio, just because it's that was witty and humorous and a little waifish, and now you can play with it because you love words and magic and Tonglen and Tibetan Buddhism and politics, right? You're brewing it all together.
Doing my best.
That's great. So in keeping with the civility of your website, we might playfully open up our council to calls. You can join us with a conundrum, a query, a blessing, a critique and a blessing, you know, whatever, by calling 1-800-958-9008 or 510-848-4425, and we will be happy to play and animate. You know, it is our powerful time right now. We love, you know, the sky earth story. We love that today is true Beltane, one of the four gates of power, where power is especially eager to be invited in and offered a desirable story and animating template, which our guest John Lauritz is doing, and so are we, you know, with him. Yeah, I mean, I just had bumper stickers made also that go elect, you know, flora fauna 2016. All right, we're electing the earth. That is the crucial thing.
I like that.
And I also like the mythic news is the only news to trust. I am Coyote Network News. It's our CNN, the most trusted name in something. So I love the jaunty humor and the deep dedication to poetry. And, you know, as I mentioned to you backstage, somebody in one of the innumerable classes I'm convening online, you know, said Canadians were like too much American politics. And so I said, well, all right, let me throw the word politics into the bubbling cauldron and ladle out what it really is, which is dedication to collective well-being. You know, are we all good with that? Yeah, and we are, right? I mean, and that's, you know, calling all spiritual alleged people, you know, I mean, everything, you know, no more Hinayana honkies in a hot tub. You know, everybody kind of get engaged and be dedicated to collective good, because, you know, a lot is on the line. We can't afford to. The world's on fire, literally, in so many ways. So, you know, and I'd mentioned, I mean, you know, however we want to weave and cahoot, but I love that you are poet and writer and political guide. And if you had a poem that you wanted to present, that would be very welcome.
Yeah, I'd love to. Let me just take a quick look here.
Okay. I'll hum while you look.
Yeah, give him a hum.
but I suppose, you know, in an equal opportunity way, I like, I'm filling in while you find the poem, but I've got a paragraph here. I do love, you know, James Carse's book, Finite and Infinite Games. Thank you, Laura Powers, so long ago. You know, we are all teaching each other and providing resources. And Carse says, you know, a finite game is about winning. Infinite game is about keeping everything in play. And he goes, the Renaissance was an irresistible magnetic invitational field. It was critiquing, like, whoa, but it wasn't staying on the finger-wagging critique. It was like, that's, and here we're going over here. And so I think we want to magnetize all good-hearted people to, like, critique, and then over here. And that's why I so love what Bernie does. We say the secular critic holds up a mirror and goes, look, you know, it's terrible in detail. And then the trickster part of us with a wave of the hand turns the mirror into a window. But look how beautiful it could be. And then another wave of the hand turns it into a door. Let's go. And and Bernie really does that. He goes, and here we let's go. So I hope that makes a welcoming nest for whatever poetry offering you might have.
Yeah, this is actually perfect because the poem that I found is about a doorway.
Excellent.
It's part of a recent series of sonnets that I was working on. This one's called, it's the first of the sonnets on the threshold, and this one's upon a doorway. The doorway opens there to join two things. But as it joins them, it must also stand between them, like the God who now relieves the pain he first created with the same hands. And standing in the threshold, when I close my eyes, does it not also stand in me, dividing inner darkness, juxtaposed, as if it were no longer simply one thing? Outside, some dimly lighted face ignites, before the doorway's glowing, like cold hands approach the warmth of flames, as close as flesh can, while things inside are huddling in their bright, familiar comfort, braced there to withstand the infinite onslaught of that dark expanse.
So, that's great. In keeping with Buddy Robert Bly, do you want to just say a few of those lines again to the doorway, just so we can take it in more?
A few of the lines again?
Yeah, whatever you feel to do, but just, yeah, because it's very rich and dense. I like the doorway and the threshold, and it is in keeping with where we are.
Yeah, it's and this one can also be found on the website too. There's a poetry section, so if folks liked that, then they can take a look. I'll go ahead and read the first stanza again, because that one was my favorite, and kind of poured out there. So the doorway opens there to join two things, but as it joins them, it must also stand between them, like the God who now relieves the pain he first created with the same hands.
Spooky. Interesting. We'll have to chew on that. We'll have to put that in my pipe and smoke it. But I love the, yes, doorways, thresholds, now, you know, gate. I love that the image for Uranus, the intelligence of trickster and nature's evolutionary, against all odds, defiant, creative ingenuity. Uranus's image right now is the gateway to the garden of all desired things, and we go, oh, all right. And I love the physicality that we can all, you know, as we want to literalize metaphors, you know, when we stand before a threshold or a doorway, we're double weighted, and then we transfer the weight to 1 foot. You know, 1 foot is Saturn stable, the other foot becomes liberated, and we swing it through the doorway, and then we feel around for purchase. And then when we have sturdy purchase, it becomes the stable one and liberates the other one, and we swing it through, and then we're in the garden of all desired things, which is, you know, how do we protect as much life as possible? That's our deeper one of our deeper dedications. And certainly, you know, we should also mention globally, you know, May 15th around the world really is the, you know, anti-corruption. Corruption is the root of all terrorism. Brilliant Sarah Chase essay on the radio about that, as corruption is the source of all terrorism. And also it's the keep it in the ground. And as Kim Stanley Robinson, great science fiction writer and lecturer, has said, you know, there's a lot of fossil fuel in the ground that is listed as financial assets on companies and countries. And he said there's people who have much incentive to get that oil out of the ground because it's listed as an asset. And if they do, then we're all really, really game over, as so many people say. So there is, again, this huge great awakening. I love that, and I guess your pilgrimage across the country and your humble falcon, your falcon car, your whatever is good. And I guess, you know, surprisingly, I don't know if we're not hearing, but you know, callers can join us 1-800-958-9008 or 510-848-4425. The spirits are not communicating with me, but we'll give them another chance just in case. There you go. So yes. Well, what where shall we go now? Let's see. Because you also revealed yourself as astrologically literate, cognoscenti. Oh wait, the People's Liberation Math Front as well.
The Revolutionary People's Math Front, yeah.
And so how can people join you in that? What's that?
You can find me on Facebook, or you can comment on my blog that you're interested, and I'd be glad to have anyone. The whole idea is just to get it's to democratize the news, you know. It's to is to get everyone together, kind of collecting data, and even if, you know, someone doesn't know what something means, but, you know, sees like, oh, hey, these are new numbers and they look interesting, like, does anyone know? And so it's a place where we can all kind of collectively bring all of our research together, and then also those of us who are inclined to write about it. I have myself and also a good friend, Don, on there, who also writes about these sorts of things. And it's just kind of this grassroots movement to take control of the story, of the narrative, back from
Definitely. From
a media that's neglecting their responsibility to inform.
That is so increasingly tightly leashed and obedient in their narrative. So again, it's the Revolutionary People's Liberating Math Front, or even
the Revolutionary People's Math Front.
Oh, okay. The Revolutionary People's Math. That's right. The Revolutionary People's Math Front, and you could even have math font. But the Revolutionary People's Math Front or font. But that's something that does it exist by itself like that on Facebook?
So we have a closed group just to, you know, that way so we don't get a bunch of trolls. You know, there are, unfortunately, there is $1 million army of trolls out there that are trying to interfere with our reporting, but
yes.
we're trying to take it in good humor, but anyone who honestly, you know, wants to hop in and help us do some reporting or some number crunching or gathering is welcome to join, or you can
that's great,
shoot me an email and
people can find out how to shoot you an email, as I did, on johnloritz.com, which is great. And then again, you know, as Ursula Le Guin says, you know, we strengthen whatever we resist. And so I do not want to focus and feed the trolls, of course, but we do also want to know that the Dementors of Doom, there are so many people in the world who are protecting beauty and their land who are under death threat in a lesser but still horrific anti-democracy way. You know, MoveOn.org is getting mega attacked by Trump trolls. Because he is directing vitriol. And that's nothing. Oh wait, spirits are coming. Spirits are delivering messages. Oh, that's
cool.
That's great. Spirits are delivering messages. That's great. Oh, okay. Well, let's go to our teammate, Joyce in Cupertino. Joyce in Cupertino, are you there?
I am here. Thank you guys for being there. I'm excited. So I was out in my garden planting tomatoes, listening to you on my solar radio, and I had to run into the phone to give you some, if you want some additional clarification on how to vote for Bernie on
thank you.
on the voter registration. Okay, so first of all, a lot of people are not clear if they're registered as what party or no party preference. So they need to check with their registrar of voters. If you want to vote for Bernie, you have to be a registered Democrat or no party preference. Now, if you want to vote no party preference, you have to, if you're absentee ballot, you need to call, or maybe you could go online in some of the counties and request the Democratic ballot for the primary. If you're registered no party preference, you can go in on June 7th at your ballot place, at your precinct, and you can request a Democratic ballot. You have to register. If you're not registered, you have to register by June 23rd. I think John said that.
Clarify that date. You said June 23rd. I don't think you mean that.
No, I mean May 23rd.
May 23rd.
If you cannot go to the poll and register, you will not be able to vote. So the deadline to register, and you got to turn in the form, is May 23rd. So, and check your party preference if you're not sure, because otherwise you won't be able to vote. So when you do not choose a party, that's called no party preference, okay, in California.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way it is. So,
wait a minute. Wait. You said do not choose a... Wait. What, just clarify what you just said,
okay.
Because because John had said you can be a registered Democrat or pick no party preference, and I didn't hear what you said, which is something about party preference.
Yes, that's correct. You can either but if you pick no party preference and you're doing an absentee ballot, then you have to request ahead of time and do it ASAP, a Democratic ballot. If you don't vote absentee, if you go to the polls on June 7th, at the poll, you can request a Democratic ballot.
Right. That's good.
Okay. Yeah. Clear?
Thank you very much for that information, Joyce.
Oh, you're welcome.
I appreciate you calling in and clarifying it, because California is huge, you know. It's really important.
And you know what? I already sent the link to the Tibetan for Bernie's, which I heard on your show, to Silicon Valley for Bernie. So...
Oh, that's great. Okay, wonderful. No, that's right. No, it's time for all allies to confluence. And I know there are people out there who are hopping up and down who love Hillary. And we want to honor that. You know, it's like when people see a movie that they loved and I hated, I go, I love the movie you saw. I like the Hillary that people love. I like that Hillary. It's not my Hillary, but I like, you know, we do want to wish everyone what is truly best for them, you know, and we don't presume, but I think Hillary, you know, whose son in Scorpio, the image is, you know, happy house raising, party among Western pioneers, the ability to catalyze community to do good things. And I go, yeah, Hillary working for Habitat for Humanity and finally divorcing Bill, you know, that would be great. You know, it might make her really happy anyway, or whatever is truly best. I mean, we're allowed to invite in whatever is truly best for all beings, you know, come on into that dynamic. But yes, no, thank you so much, Joyce. That was incredibly useful. I'm glad you rushed in from your garden as an agent of your garden to clarify and guide how people can participate in democracy.
Yeah.
Yes.
I was just saying, thanks, Joyce.
Yeah, thank you very much, Joyce. And remember, our word idiot comes from Greek idiotis, which meant one who was so self-absorbed as to not participate in collective well-being. So we know, you know, people go, oh, politics, you know. But part of the great awakening right now, as Bernie knows, you know, is, you know, huge numbers of, yes, young people and old people and, I mean, everything, you know, and independents. And I was saying to you backstage, John, that, you know, I do go hang out with conservatives because we want to hone our storytelling, invitational, civil skills. And two of my favorite, most educated conservatives are like, oh, we're so appalled, you know, but, you know, we're voting for Bernie. You know,
yeah.
So conservatives for Bernie, there's a huge, you know, because so much of what is dynamic is invisible to mainstream narrative, which is why, indeed, we do need many kinds of newses, including the That's right. The Revolutionary People's Math Front. That's right. And the symbiotic liberation font, and the Coyote Network News, and all of those things. That's great. And then the very patient callers, because Spirits just delivered this pile of papers to me. Patient callers. Lisa in Berkeley, are you still there? Lisa in Berkeley. Lisa might have given up.
Lisa, back.
We love you. All right, call back. Possibly. There's some Mercury retrograde delay. Everything's moving quite slowly. All right, Lisa in Berkeley, come back in if you want to. Susan in San Francisco, are you still there?
Hello.
Yeah.
Hi, yeah. I'm an elder for Sanders. Can you hear me?
Yes, we hear you loud and clear.
Hear you.
Good, California, and we have our delegate count is twice as much as the difference between the two. There's definitely a wonderful chance.
Yeah.
It's very exciting, and Hillary Clinton, she actually has some good heart and good intention, but she has her own brand of climate denial. She's sort of pretending that the military-industrial complex doesn't exist, and that our over 750 military bases in 140 countries over the world are not the global warmer of all time. And I want to mention an important book that just came out. It's called American Nuremberg by Rebecca Gordon, and it lays out a good case against people like Richard Cheney, George Bush, Rumsfeld, Wolfowitz, because part of our problem, it's so wonderful that it's just right come out. Part of our problem, I think, is that we're still in the Bush administration in some ways. We have not successfully extricated ourselves. And is it fair to those who express disappointment in Obama? And I believe nobody is more disappointed in Barack Obama at this moment in his performance than Obama himself. He's his own worst, severest critic. I think that If we don't separate from Dick Cheney, then we are Dick Cheney, and we're just going to keep getting our heads cut off. And people right now over the world, they can't see our good face. This beautiful man, James Foley, who was beheaded, you know, he's our best face. He represents the best face of America, the part of us that just wants to help. But all they can see is our predator drones right now. And if we can do the legal work, and the book lays out wonderful strategy, logistics, tactics, it's a marvelous timing. So I'm so excited about what's going on right now. Thank you so much. You're a breath of fresh air.
Excellent. And don't go away quite yet, Susan. What is the title of the book? You said it was American what?
Oh, it's called American Nuremberg, and the subtitle is something like Post, and Rebecca Gordon is the author, and it's something like bringing up post 9/11 murderers on war criminals. She definitely goes after Cheney, the most brilliant money launderer of our time. You know, Eric Prince of Blackwater just got brought up on questioning for money laundering. But Cheney does not need this Panama law firm. He's probably not mentioned in the Panama Papers for good reason. He and his wife, Lynn Cheney, have been using the Iraq War as their money laundering operation. And, you know, let's stop them. And the
yes.
Pullback. Yeah.
Absolutely. That's great, and hail, yes, right, and no age ghettos, you know, it's like young people, old people, we need everybody. That's right, and I myself find word elder a tad drab, but I love the word maven, so we go, you know, because it rhymes with raven, and it's what we're all becoming, information resources. So hail, Susan in San Francisco, you know, maven for Sanders. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. Well, we have a pile more callers coming in our cute, you know, in the age of technology, it's notes that work. Okay. So let's see. Here we go. All right. Let's go to Magic in San Francisco. Magic in San Francisco. Are you still there?
Yes. Hi, Caroline and John. Thank you for the show. You know, I've been, I just recently sent an email to Susan Herman, who's head of the ACLU, because I believe that Trump's advocating for war crimes by killing the families of ISIS, and also for databases on the Muslims, which would break the 14th Amendment, would disqualify him for being on the ballot. And that I think we need to look at this. Would we allow Hitler on the ballot? I mean, his advocating is, I feel, illegal. And even if we can't stop him this way, I think it would be a good discussion to have.
Excellent. That's very good. Yes. Yeah, so, and how can we join you in this effort?
Well, I think if more people contact Susan Herman, the head of the ASLU, and send her emails and say we'd like the ASLU to research this, it would be very helpful, because I just sent one. I haven't heard from her yet, and I'm going to continue to pursue that. So if you just go to the website for ASLU, Susan President, and then email her with this suggestion, maybe we can get something going, because I don't think that we should allow him on the ballot. I think we've already defeated an aspect of our democracy to let him even be on the ballot.
Well said. Yes, this is so fun. Right. Thank you. That's a completely great guiding direction, completely responsible and very fun. We do love that. And it's true. And again, it's part of the quirkiness. There's so much, you know, revelation and direction. And that's again why the narrative, we want to be agile, jaunty, dedicated to greatest good no matter what. In this wild turn in which again, the kind of lumbering, you know, obedient press is like, that was surprising, wasn't it? Oh no. Yeah, we go more surprise, more. Yes. ACLU, get it involved. There's the DC madam phone numbers that are waiting backstage. Who knows what that'll do? Probably nothing, but they're waiting there. In which the DC madam was, you know, a major. Let's say, what is the word? I don't even know. She ran a brothel. There we go. And everybody in Washington almost went. And she, alas, killed herself when facing jail time. But her lawyer has all the phone numbers, and he said it was a matter of electoral nationals. Important security that he be allowed to reveal the phone numbers. And we go, all right, sure, you know, that's fine. And then there's the transcripts of Hillary's talks to Wall Street. That would be fun. And then there's the emails coming out, of course. And, you know, and as Susan in San Francisco said, you know, about, you know, the fracking. And it's true that Hillary, bless her heart, did go around the world strong-arming reluctant governments into accepting fracking. And we go, yes, and she did call, you know, we have to look at Iraq as a business opportunity. We go, it's just the time for the Clintons has passed. And it's true that, you know, Trump is the toxic mimic and Bernie's representing the real conversation. But that's the conversation that wants to be had. And Hillary just not quite in on the conversation. but, yes, thank you, Magic. You are Magic. That's great. And let's see. Wait a minute. I'm getting my notes mixed up. Susan in Laguna Beach, are you still there?
Hey, Caroline. It's Susan. And
hey.
The underground have reemerged. Thank you for reminding it's actual Beltane. I'm standing on my deck looking at the goats across the canyon.
Yay.
So there are plenty of goats to clean things up. I just wanted to say, as far as the voting thing goes that was mentioned, I did that online. They make it very simple in California. To get squared away. And I just think that Larry Wilmore did a pretty good job at the Washington Correspondents' Dinner calling out the media.
Okay, all right.
And I think it's a lot of heat.
Saw that was funny.
We're all too soon going. But thank you, Susan. Let us keep in perpetual cahoots. Woof woof woof. Yes, Larry Wilmore. I love your Larry Wilmore. There we go. But thanks so much, John Loritz. JohnLoritz.com, and let us keep newsing and perpetually cahooting around all these things. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. That's great. Thanks to Erica Bridgman in Berkeley and Natalie in D.C. I'm Caroline Casey. And as we remember, better a trickster than a martyr be. And trickster loves against all odds. Woof, woof, woof. We will reconvene next week. Thank you, team. Woof.
Be sure to catch Apex Express on KPFA. Apex Express is a weekly program following news and cultural events throughout Asia and the Pacific Islands. Find out about issues affecting Asian American and Pacific Islander communities locally and globally. Get on board the Apex Express Thursday evenings at 7 p.m. on KPFA.
Hey, this is Caroline Casey, Weaver of Context for the Visionary Activist Show.
a show that aspires to wed spiritual magic and conscious, compassionate social activism. Join us every Thursday at 2 p.m. as we invoke and implement a more ingeniously cooperative and reverent world.
Think of the Hard Knock, you think of that.
Existence.
One of the most phenomenal beats of all time.
Good information and great radio.
News, views, and hip-hop.
What? Do it the way you feel it.
Hard Knock.
Hard Knock.
Hard Knock Radio.
Monday through Friday.
And it's from 4 to 5 p.m. knocking hard in your area.
94.1 KPFA.
Only revolution is our evolution.
Are you tired of The Matrix?
The movie?
No, not the movie, but the one you're living in. If so, then hang out with your friends at The Full Circle.
What's The Full Circle?
Full Circle is a radio show written, produced, and directed by apprentices right here at KPFA. We'll bring you everything from the obscure to the obvious, the hidden and the blatant.